Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Faceless Blog Talk Radio Show on the Hidden Truth Reveal channel, The Inside Scoop. With Luann Fleming, Robin Austin will be joining us soon. Marcy will be joining us as well. And Hillary is on the phone with us right now. But anyway, today is July 24th, 2019, and tonight we're going to be discussing any progress that's been made in your state, you know, against the for-profit guardianship abuse. And we also want to let you know to check out the 8th Annual Whistleblower Summit and Film Festival going to be coming on. I actually had today as the date as July 28th, but I think it's July 29th through the 31st. Anyway, and that's going to be happening up in Washington, D.C., and we have a great panel up there exposing this. And are you with me, Hillary?
I am with you. Good evening, Luann.
Good evening. How you doing? Good?
I'm doing pretty well. Today was a good day in Florida for
change. Oh, you want to?
So.
Yeah. You know, and it's kind of like, we're going to be talking about the Whistleblower Summit as well. And so we want anybody to call into our show that's made any progress in their state against guardianship abuse, probate court fraud, any kind of court problems that you've had, call in, you know, and we'll be glad to talk to you about your case, about what's going on in your state. And we also have, oh my gosh, we have a great panel for the Whistleblower Summit. And the panel is going to include Marty Oakley from TS Radio, and you know, she's really awesome at her radio shows, exposing all this corruptness going on in our probate courts. Marcia Southwick also is going to be on there with Boomers Against Elder Abuse, and she's also with NASGA and Dr. Zena Crenshaw Logo. She's the executive director of NJCDLP, and they're going to be focusing on the disparities in the judicial system. But, you know, once you're captured into the system, you know, for guardianship abuse, your loved ones could be isolated. They are medicated and die sometimes. The estates are tapped out, and cremation is standard. And so we basically want to keep this going as much as we can in each state to find out what's going on in them. And it's just a big, huge crime racket that's going on, and it really does get frustrating, you know, to know that this goes on. But anyway, I think we also have Marcy is on with us. Let's see if Marcy's here with us. Marcy, you with us?
I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi,
Luann. Hi.
Yes.
I am feeling so optimistic. Huh?
Oh, good, good. Go ahead and tell us what's going on in your state right now, Marcy.
Well,
go ahead and give us.
The top guardianship executive, Carol Berkowitz, resigned.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
I got it from a friend of mine from Maryland. So we even have people from Maryland focusing on the guardianship oversight and the unfairness done to the elderly, whether they're incapacitated or not, and courts not really incapacitating the elderly. When years ago they get diagnosed with, memory loss, they're not doing it. And it's really up to the courts, the judges to decide that. And I think Governor DeSantis was on TV too. And he himself said how he didn't know what a big problem this guardianship oversight was. And definitely he's going to do whatever in his power to protect our seniors. And so I really have a lot of faith with this, our governor. He seems to be very transparent. And he's all about freedom and freedom of choice and definitely the being caring for our elders in our state. So I'm happy about that.
Uh-huh.
If I could interject and just say, sure. To me, my take on the situation is, and I had spoken to Carol Berkowitz, and I used to speak to her 2-3 times a week, the head of the Office of Professional Guardians and Public Guardians since 2016. And she emailed me on the same day that she resigned, saying that she was going to meet me in Miami, and obviously she resigned. But the chain of events that happened, besides the normal daily corruption in the guardianship system in Florida, is there is a guardian. She, at the time, had 400 wards at the same time, and a judge in Orange County, which is Orlando, found out that this guardian, without getting court approval or approval from the family, was signing DNRs, do not resuscitate orders, for her wards. So people that wanted to live were not given the medical attention that they needed in an emergency situation. So there was a man, Mr. Stryker, 75 years old, who did not want to die. But this guardian had signed a DNR form, and everyone said, you know, this shouldn't be. But end of the story is Mr. Stryker died, and it is this guardian's fault. So the judge took her off 100 cases. Then a few other counties took her off a few of cases, another 100 cases. She still does have a few cases pending in a few different counties in Florida. But that is huge, because this guardian was killing these people. You know?
Well, that's what they do.
Right.
So this was the beginning. And then Carol Berkowitz must have known that what was going to hit the fan, and she resigned. I mean, we had met with Governor DeSantis maybe 5 months ago. And, he had made the comments that there was absolutely no accountability in the guardianship system in Florida. So everyone was like, wow, this is great, and nothing happened. Unfortunately, an innocent gentleman had to lose his life for things maybe, hopefully, to change. I am cautiously optimistic tonight, but we have to thank Adam Walzer from ABC News, Action News, who has been steadfast in his reporting on the guardianship situation in Florida. He hasn't stopped, and we owe him quite a bit of gratitude for keeping the story alive. But as we speak right now, and I'm about to end this, as we speak right now, Marcy's mother, she hasn't seen in forever. I have two other friends. One hasn't seen his aunt in about 300 days, and another woman who hasn't seen her father in 400 days. Everyone's being sued for gag orders because no one is allowed to vocalize their disdain for the guardianship situation, and everyone is going bankrupt, defending themselves and fighting for their family members. So we can only hope and pray that times are a-changing.
And I hope and pray that I even get to see my mom, because she's, 96 already. And, it just totally doesn't make sense how they can appoint a guardian of the property and not of the person. It's just really crazy. And it's almost like the court system doesn't care what the diagnosis from, and I'm not talking about my mother's case, I'm just saying that there's many cases that they're just not paying attention to the real medical doctors diagnosing from the mental illness end of it. They just take whoever they want and tell them what to say, and they don't properly care about properly evaluating them. And, I told you guys about Alzheimer's Explained, and I asked all these people, there are hundreds of thousands of people that talk to each other for support system because of their loved one. And I put in there, should a family doctor be is the proper way to evaluate for mental illness? And I got 250, no way. Absolutely not. And then I asked, does dementia get better? No, it gets worse. But yet, when we go in front of judges, they don't seem, it's up to a judge to decide. And if he decides to say she's okay because she's elusive on that moment, then they don't care. And so nothing else matters till they really get incapacitated by a judge. And that, I believe, I am going to try to change till the day I die. Because just think, you have heart problems, what kind of doctor are you going to go to? You're going to go to,
You don't give up. Oh, you don't give up with your car, you know.
No. And so let's just even take the mind away. You have heart problems. You go to the heart doctor. They do an EKG. And what is the other that they put the dye in? The catheterization. To see, I mean, that's what happened to my dad. He was having chest pains. I took him. And, you know, four of his arteries were clogged. Not when it comes to the mind, they don't want to do that. You know, technically, you don't see well in your eyes, you go to an eye doctor. And if there's something wrong with the mind, then you have to go to the proper doctor, do the proper diagnosis, not to ask how they feel, because they don't know. In the real world, they don't really know. And so they don't even say, well, she's got health insurance. Send or he has health insurance. Send them to a neurologist. And their neurologist, even though they're neurologists, they're going to say, I'm going to send them for a CAT scan or an MRI because I want to see what's going on inside the brain. But
you know,
they don't do this properly.
That's the problem that we have. And I remember when they did that to my mom. I had a whole bunch of doctors go in there, excuse me on the phone, I had a bunch of doctors go in there and say that there was absolutely nothing wrong with my mom, is that she just could not handle her money. Well, you know what? About 2 years later, she had full-blown dementia. So those doctors were absolutely steered in the wrong direction. Because I know for a fact my mom had it, she always continued to have it, and my God, how vulnerable they are right now. I mean, it's really and that they can that they go through this abuse, especially this is the biggest time of their lives. They need family near them. They need to have their money near them. They need to have loved ones watching them. They don't need to be locked up in some nursing home, being fed all this drugging agents.
Or inside a garage like my mother.
To me, this most disgusting thing anybody can do. Hold on, let me bring in Rob, and he'll set everything straight. Robin, are you with us?
Yes, I sure am. I've been listening.
I'm praying those people out. It's praying the dysfunction out.
The problem is that we've got a whole bunch of criminals that are operating in our courts under the protection of the judges rather than being held responsible for their crimes by the judges. These so-called lawyers are operating without honor. They're violating every code of duty or honor or justice. They're just making up excuses to rob people, and the judges are just okaying it. They're just that's fine with me, buddy. You
but
know,
not
you're
all
you're
judges
my pal.
Are bad. Because I have friends that are judges, and they're not like that. They're ethical people.
Oh,
not all judges are bad, but it depends on what judge you're going to go in front of.
That's exactly right. I am not talking about
the honest. I don't want to bad-mouth judges, I just happened to see.
No, let me make it clear.
Yeah.
Please, let me make myself clear. I am not talking about the honest judges who do uphold the law and
look
uphold
at the medical report.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about judges who are not honest and are not upholding the law and ought not to be called justice so-and-so. And it is a misnomer to call them your honor because they have no honor. Those are the ones I'm talking about. And they are permitting and allowing and tacitly endorsing crimes by people in their courtrooms. And this has got to stop. This is America. This is not something that we should be allowing to happen in the courtrooms in a country where liberty and justice for all is in the Pledge of Allegiance that we're supposed to be teaching our kids in school. You know,
I don't blame you, Robin, at all, because what's going on in our courtrooms is extremely disturbing. I've had 5 new cases come to me in Aurora. I have people scared to death that they're going to be guardianized. I have families. I just got in touch with this one big story today, Alan Fenton. He's at over $1 million. He was in the Westward today, or in the Westward in the last couple of days, newspaper. They got a hold of me. They got all the way to our group and said, they just gave me another different guardian, and now that one's abusing me. And it's like, oh, my God. What they do is take it from one guardian to another guardian that's going to abuse them even more. This is not helping these people that need to be considered a ward. This guy has documentation saying he does not need to be in a guardian. What are these courts not understanding? This guy can take care of his own money. But no.
They're not understanding that they don't want to lose $283 trillion business. Because that's what it is.
Exactly right, Marcy.
Right.
I haven't met an honest or heard of an honest judge in probate, but one thing that stuck with me today from Governor DeSantis, what he said, you know, we're going to do a full investigation, 6 months, the new guy is going to be great, but he goes, if we have to change things administratively or, you know, write new legislation, we'll do it. That is not the problem. The laws are perfect. The 744 statutes are fine. A, they're not followed. Administratively, it doesn't matter. We need to get rid of the guardians that are stealing and killing our relatives, and we need to get rid of the bad judges and the lawyers, you know?
Right.
Changing the laws won't do anything to help the situation.
But it's exactly the same people. Every one of these people that contact our office out here, you know, with Face Us, every single one are these people that they're talking about all the time. It's like, what do we have to do? So you know what? We're going to go to some news agencies. I am so sick and tired of this. I get so many complaints. I'm sick of it because, you know, these are our families crying out for help, you know, and it drives me nuts when they come and say, who can I go to? And I can only give them 2 names that might help.
It's very, very devastating, horrifying.
If you had any progress in your state, call into the show. The number that you do that with is 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and that will raise your hand that you want to come into the studio. Anyway, that's 845-241-9962. You press a 1. Let's hear from the different states out there. Also, we have the Whistleblower Summit coming on next week. And like I said, we've got Marty Oakley who's going to be in there speaking with TS Radio.
Where?
This is going to be Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C.
Oh.
And Dr. Zena Crenshaw is going to be speaking, but they're going to be focusing on the judicial system, the elderly, and also there's another highlight this year. There's a documentary film festival, which will be on the last day of the summit, Thursday, July 29th. Many documentaries will be screened at the Library of Congress, including the Elder Abuse Reform Now documentary, The Unforgivable Truth. So they're excited.
Phenomenal. The Unforgivable Truth.
Several NASA
awesome.
Members included in the documentary. And also, I think the Guardians are going to be showing up there too. I'm not sure
yes.
of that. And I really didn't want to disturb Julie Belshi because her, you know, her mother passed away, which I know the whole nation is just, you know, we all have any North, you know, just she's in our hearts, you know, because she was abused by April Parks. So we always want to keep that family, you know, in our hearts, especially with Rennie North. And,
yes.
you know, there's so much going on that we want to get out what's going on in your state so we can start putting this together and kind of just like let's see what works and what doesn't, okay? Well, I know some people want us to do a show on federal regulations, and I have people coming to me all the time of radio shows that they want us to put on, so I'm putting some of these together, and we're going to be coming out with them. In the next couple of weeks, I have a couple more guests that are coming on that are having problems with the probate court systems in their state. So this is going to be getting really good, and it's sad that we have to all meet like this, but it's a good thing we're standing up and speaking about this. We do not want to leave this trash for our children. We want to clean up this probate court matter. We want to be able to have an intergenerational transfer of wealth, right, Robin? We talk about that all the time, that we want to continue this. Every family member should be able to give their family what they want. Any aunt or uncle should be able to give what they want. Anybody should be able to give who they want, when they want, what time, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
and
that just
you
totally
know
happened.
We are making a difference. You know, we are making a difference. And today is a good day in Florida. Unfortunately, the man has passed away, but the governor spoke about guardianship. Do you know how few and far between that is in America that a governor of a state actually mentions guardianship and changes?
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. So it is a good day because we can hold him accountable and say, look, you said on such and such a day that, you know, you were going to make changes. So it is a good a day, without a doubt.
Right.
Yes,
absolutely.
And he was feeling shaken about it. Like, oh, my God, I had no idea that it was tremendous, you know. So hopefully the people that are isolating, that are part of this monkey business, will become to have a heart, not only just a heart. This is not about any animosity against them, but this is about a loved one that's been abused, isolated, neglected,
mm-hmm.
who are not in the right minds, that are vulnerable, and I'm talking about many of them, that die because of the sadness of isolation. And
right.
I hope all these people will start to make a change and turn around, because eventually there could be serious consequences, and that they should just let them go to their daughter or to their sons and let them go before it's too late for them. Because once a governor starts to talk about this, I really think it's a serious thing.
It is a serious thing.
It's a great thing.
When you're not letting your loved ones die with their family members, and they're stealing their estates, and these people are vulnerable, and they end up as a ward to the state, that state must take care of that person adequately, kind, bearing, like they do at my mother's nursing home. I mean, these people are wonderful to my mom. I mean, these people go
and
out
that's
of their
the way it should be. She's been well taken care of, and you have peace of mind.
Yeah, and I know I can leave and go on vacation. I go places. I can do things knowing my mom is in good hands. But
and the peace of mind is great having
time.
It. But there are people, Luann and Robin and Marcy. There are people, though, let's keep in mind, who should not, even if they are not incapacitated. They do not have dementia. And they've been put into a guardianship wrongfully, you know.
Wrong.
So there's so many different
stories. In my mother's case, Hillary, You were a witness. You saw my mother. What was your opinion? Just even
looking
at her.
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that she is incapacitated. There's
yep.
no doubt in my mind. But when you look at my father's situation, all the three examining committee members, they wrote that my father was cognizant to day, time, place. He knew his financial situation, but the three of them still put limited guardian of the finances.
Right,
thank God
put,
it didn't happen.
They put
I have
my
a
mom
feeling
into a limited guardian, just enough to give her a limited guardian just so they could steal her money. You know, they said,
yeah,
oh, yeah, she's not able to take care of her assets, but we need to have a public administrator put it underneath all the property, take away your 100 and whatever cars we had. They took away, you know, $5 million of estate worth value today, all for because my mother was not able to take care of her money. Are you serious? Are they kidding me? They did this under a couple reasons. They made her not incapacitated so they could continue to steal from her, but just limited it to where she needs to have some guardians. Come on. Her daughters
yep.
that were capable of taking care of their mother. So this to
they,
me is nothing.
They,
and this public administrator mm-hmm. is still in charge of our trust. She's still there. She was mm-hmm. even let go by the courts. But you know what? She's still there. You know, that's the sinful activities of our court system today. That's all I can say. You know, and I'm damned if I can get anybody and keep them out of guardianship or get them out of a court or get them out. I'm gonna do it. You know, we've got this lady back $1 million of her estate. That did happen. But if it wasn't for our group, she would have never had that. Never, never, no way, no how.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's see who this other caller is. It's a 720 number. Let's see if they want to speak. 720. Hold on a second. My computer has to think. 720. Hold on a second. Are you live?
Are you talking to me?
Hello.
Hold on. Who's this? Hold on. Obviously, it's not the right one. Hold on. Something happened there. Okay, never mind. Okay, so let's keep talking. If anybody wants to come on and share what's going on in their state, go ahead and do that. The number is 845-241-9962. This is a live show. It is it's a national radio show. We are heard internationally in some places. The last time we heard, we were in Australia and we were in Canada, and we had some people listening to us even from India. So that's
wow.
good news that this is going on. And these radio shows.
You got people listening to you from Baltimore, Maryland, in Washington, D.C.
Well, yeah.
Because they tell
yeah.
them to, but they don't want to come on.
Yeah. And if you're afraid to come on the radio, so that's okay. You can change your name. You don't even have to give us your name because we know how this works. There's many people getting gag orders. I've seen this lady get a $5 million gag order because she wanted to talk about her brother being abused in probate court. Now,
but I believe the gag orders are illegal.
No, it doesn't matter if they're legal or they're not. They're happening. People are going bankrupt
yeah.
because of them. People's
well,
bank accounts are being frozen.
That's against the law. That I mean, this is a freedom of speech country.
But it doesn't matter. It's being done, and you know, every single day.
They need to go pick it in front of the White House. Okay.
I mean,
they need to go pick it. Yeah,
that's
unconstitutional.
Well,
sure
look,
it is,
Marcy,
but these are criminals. These people
exactly.
doing these things are criminals. We are talking about criminals operating in the open with the protection of the courts. This is what's going on. These are criminals doing criminal activities, things that are illegal, things that if you or I did them and we didn't have a man wearing a black dress saying, oh, yeah, that's fine, then we would go to prison for the criminal activities that of stealing someone from their home, kidnapping them, taking all their property. We would go to prison for that because that's criminal activity. But if you have a man who dresses up in a nice black dress and holds a hammer in his hand and bangs it on a piece of wood and everyone is required to address him with honorifics that he does not deserve, And I'm sorry, I don't mean to characterize any judge who is a good, honest judge upholding justice in this way. I respect them highly. I honor them, and I am on their side. But these phonies in their kangaroo courts that are upholding criminals and protecting criminals doing criminal activity, which is what we're talking about. Yes, you're right, Arcee. It is illegal in this country. These things that they do, they are illegal. There's a number of crimes that they do that are against our Constitution, that are illegal in our country, that are crimes. And they go on because the courts protect them. And this must end. We as Americans must change our court system. We can't permit this to go on. It is crime that is being protected in our courts. It is the absolute opposite of what it ought to be.
I mean, honestly,
all I can tell you, sorry.
Go ahead.
I think God has a purpose in this whole thing because of the Amber Alert, what that happened to that little girl, and look what turned out to be. I honestly think that this is a huge monster that we are trying to, it's almost like the civil, it's civil rights war. But I really believe that God is using all of us, because we're warriors, to go against a system that is very, very broken. It's a broken trust. And I believe that, you know, if you can't help people or you don't want to help them, then please don't hurt them. And they're hurting our loved ones. And they're vulnerable and they're elder. And this should not be happening. And
I mean, you're so right. I mean, you're so right. And your mother's beautiful, but she's, you know, she's 96. Something has to happen now. I mean, time is of the essence, and these members of the court are just...
They don't care. I finally got a hearing September 10th.
Oh, good.
Hillary,
right on my calendar.
I got a hearing September 10th.
But you know something? I'm being sued by a for-profit guardian in Pinellas County, and she
That's
is
horrible.
Suing me. I've only been sued twice in my life, and both of them are by this guardian. But both of them are, you know, one was a restraining order that she dropped, and then this time she's suing me for libel and slander because I'm talking, you know, I'm telling everyone the truth about what she's doing. You know, she's calling a group of us a vigilante gang. We're all in our, you know, mid-50s with children, you know, and it's just, it's unbelievable that they can do this. But they can, and they're just trying to keep us quiet. And that, we know, is not going to happen.
Right. But, you know, and it's like, if they're going to sue you, they need to sue the whole nation, because there's a lot of advocates out here talking about this. I mean, there is. We have the Marty Oakley Show. We got NASGA. We got Dr. Sugar's Group. We got Cats and Falk Organization. We got all kinds of organizations. What are they going to do about all those organizations?
Look,
speaks out about it all the time. There's our group. There's tons of groups out there. There's documentaries. There's all kinds of stuff going on all over the country. But these people don't want to be shown as the bad people, so they throw that at other people, making them look bad. You know, they want to look good. We look bad. That's what they're trying to do. And it infuriates me that people have to do this. Yeah, this dirty little secret that they have to go around and build these phony walls up saying, we're doing really good by our people. We keep them isolated. We kill them, but we're doing a good job, you know. And it makes me mad
When somebody is trying to hush someone up so badly, why do they want to hide?
Right.
You know? What are they hiding that they don't want you to speak?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And
find what they're hiding.
Because the truth is that they are criminals.
What are they hiding that they want to shut you up so much?
Yeah.
You know?
They're hiding the fact that there are a bunch of criminals that are organized crime operating in our courts doing criminal activity with the protection of a judge. That's what they don't want the general public to know. That's what they finance the senators and congressmen. They contribute to their campaigns so that they're protected by them, so they don't make laws that make it harder on them to continue their crime spree. You know, this is what's going on. It's criminal activity that is sanctioned by the courts, and it would not be sanctioned in any other circumstance than it's a bunch of lawyers that have another lawyer in a black dress and, you know, sitting up in front of the court saying, now I'm the one running things and these are my boys, these are my girls. Those ones that are wearing the suits, they're the only ones that matter. We'll make sure that they get paid. And that's what my job is, to make sure they get paid. And I don't care who gets hurt. I don't care who gets robbed.
I'm going to challenge you, Robin. I hope to God that you're wrong on my next court hearing.
Right.
I really want to prove you wrong. I'm going to go in saying, I got a good judge this time. I hope to God I get to prove you wrong, that I end up with my mother, that I bring her home safely.
Do you know who the judge is,
Marcy? The other day I posted on Facebook.
It's the one you had, I believe.
Right.
It's Judge Sloan.
Right. I posted on Facebook the other day. So has anybody made any progress in their state? And so far, this is what came up with that. There's 38 comments, and it said, not so far in Virginia, but a lot of us are still trying to get the legislature to implement reforms. And this lady's working with Sear and Rick Black. And then another one says, nothing in New Jersey. Another one says, nothing in Washington. And another one says, still working on getting my Jane from Pennsylvania, have a new lawyer. Another one says, yes, in Michigan. They have an attorney general out there currently making their rounds. And then in Pennsylvania, another one says, in Pennsylvania, the Department of Aging is openly breaking Pennsylvania and federal law protecting the elderly. Another one says, not as far as they know in Oregon or Ohio. They're just getting information out. Another one says, we're making no improvement in Florida. And another one says, yes, we're making improvement in Florida. And then it says that, yes, they're doing some out there in Florida again. And it says, nope, we're not having anything going on in our state. And this goes on all the way down. And it says, not so in San Antonio, Texas, still fighting. You know, so there is progress being made, but it's not as fast as we need it to be made. You know, these people are suffering.
And not only that, Luann, if you look at the dockets, and I mean, I'm looking every single day, cases are still being filed. Every single day, there are new petitions to determine incapacity being filed. And someone's life is being turned upside down, more than likely by a complete stranger.
Well,
so
it depends what's convenient. If it's convenient to incapacitate them, they do. And then if it's not convenient for them, even though they're medically incapacitated, they don't incapacitate them. And that is where it's really twisted, you know. It's really twisted because it's not for the better being of the person, of the vulnerable elder. And that's what's really sad. You know, I don't want to call it anything badly. I want to go in there and be at peace with everyone, because the main thing that I want to do is so my mom can have the proper care. You know, that's really why my whole concern is. I don't want, I have a court case pending, and I hope to God that I get a good Lord judge, and this goes to rest, you know?
Well, yeah,
I mean,
because you've been in front of 3 or 4 times. You just don't give up, you know. We just got this thing from Gina Crenshaw. She just said, I have the privilege of addressing this year U.S. probate court abuse, and specifically adult senior guardianship abuse experts on that topic, Marty Oakley and Marcia Southwick. Hopefully, my input on avoidable gaps in the U.S. law enforcement will help make clear how elderly Americans can endure a form of human trafficking facilitated by unchecked U.S. probate court abuse. So, yeah, that's Zena Crenshaw, logo. She's going to be with that panel at in Washington, D.C. So if anybody can get out there, please.
God, I wish we could go. Hillary, you want to drive up?
I can. I have my dad, and I'd love to go, but I can't. Can I just mention real quickly that we're also optimistic? I mean, Marcy met with a senator a few months ago, and a group of us, one, two, four, five of us, and Rick Black flew down from, I think it's North or South Carolina, and we met with the district attorney, the assistant district attorney for Pinellas County. And we were there. We had a meeting. It lasted 2 hours. There was an investigator there. They were taking notes. And, again, this is a first for a lot of us to be able to sit down and tell someone our stories, and not only our stories, just about the nightmares of guardianship. Uh-huh. And they listened. They asked questions. They asked Rick Black for his contacts in Vegas, for the state officials that helped bring April Parks down. But that's another encouraging situation. You know, again, cautiously optimistic, but they said they prosecuted this Fernando Gutierrez for elder exploitation. He did the power of attorney scams, but he was also a guardian as well. They said, you know, when we heard what was going on, we knew that he could not be an isolated situation, that more, you know, more people were taking advantage of the elderly in guardianship court. So we shall see. We were there on, you know, a week ago on this past Tuesday. So we will see what happens. So, yes, it is very, very, very encouraging, because when I started off in Florida, nothing, absolutely nothing. No one would talk to you. They, you know, nothing. So at least something is happening, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's
that
really
is
good.
That is wonderful, really. You know, it's very heartening when you do see movement in the right direction. And that's one reason why I really am very blunt and straightforward about calling criminal activity, because
I am as well.
I think we need to make it clear to all of those that are sort of on the fence and sort of buying the bogus line that they're being fed about, oh, these are just people who are unhappy with the way things turned out in court.
Mm-hmm.
There was no wrongdoing. They just didn't like the fact that they didn't get everything they wanted, you know,
right.
and lie is told so often by so many.
But people believe it.
A lot of people just believe that if something bad happens to you in court, well, you must have done something. You must have deserved it. And I want to make it clear to anyone who listens to what I'm saying that, no, I'm not talking about the courts where there is justice. I'm not talking about the courts where honest judges and honest lawyers are really working towards resolving conflicts between people in a way that balances things out or brings something that equates to be some form of justice. I'm not criticizing that. I am all for that. I applaud that. Those people, I'm with you all the way. If you're an honest attorney, God bless you, and I'm in your corner. I'm fighting for you. And if you're an honest judge, I'm in your corner too. I'm fighting for you. But I do not want people to assume that things are okay because there's a small percentage of judges and attorneys who are acting honestly. And I'm sorry when I say a small percentage, but that's honestly the way it looks to me from where I sit, you know, studying all of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that we have talked directly to who have been abused by the court system, thousands, I guess, is more accurate. I just have to say that it appears to me that where courts are operating in a just and fair way that does administer some kind of justice, that is the exception to the rule. That is a rare thing. And
Very rare, you see a happy ending.
Right. But now, when we do see a district attorney that actually takes an interest, when we do see attorney general that actually takes an interest, when we hear a governor saying we've got to do something about the abuses of our elders in the guardianship system, these things are heartening. This is great. And I say the things I do, and I speak as stridently as I do in support of those individuals, because they need to know that there are people out there that are extremely upset at the criminal activity that is being foisted upon the American people in the name of justice, so that they have the heart to go up against it.
Right. Definitely. Without a doubt. I mean, I for the most part, am always enraged at what's going on, you know? And this is great. It's a start. But it doesn't help people in Colorado. It doesn't help people in Pennsylvania. You know, there just has to, and we will not stop until there is justice for everyone and there is a complete overhaul of the guardianship situation in the United States of America.
Absolutely. The whole thing needs a total transformation, because it is broken as hell. It's horrific. And so many people are being abused and killed and robbed under the system as it operates today, that it's trillions of dollars. It's a horrifying reality that is, for a very large part of the population, still invisible, because there are still those who, when you tell them what's going on, they'll go, well, they can't do that. Oh, that would be illegal. They can't do that. That would be wrong. They wouldn't do that in courts. No. What did you do to make that happen to you? You know, and they just don't get it. And it's because in our country, we are raised, and certainly it was true in my day, and I think to a very high degree, it's true today, that we are raised to believe that America is a special kind of country where there is liberty and justice for all. I mean, there it is, right in the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, with liberty and justice for all. That's how I was brought up saying the Pledge of Allegiance in school every day. In my day, that's what we did. Nowadays, I don't think they stress that so much, but we sure don't see liberty and justice for all. We don't see it but for very few, on rare occasions. And that is not the America that we are brought up to believe in, that I believe is worth fighting for. You see, we've got soldiers that go into the military to stand up for America, and the America that they want to stand up for is the freedom and justice, liberty for all. That's the one that they're fighting for. They're not fighting for the corrupt America where you can, if you have connections, you can go into court and kidnap someone and rob them of everything and murder them, and no one punishes you. No one wants to join a military that's going to fight for a bunch of criminals that have taken over our court system and that are protected by our legislators who just pretend like everything's okay because they're getting big campaign contributions from the legal profession. You know, this has got to stop.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's get and pull in a caller here. Let's 720 number. Let me see if I can get this to open up. Hold on a second. 720, you're live on the air.
Am I live?
Yes, you are live.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to ask a question. I was going to touch on back on what you said earlier.
Right.
Is, can we take this to the DA's office? Can we take this whole, like, one case to the DA's office, present our evidence?
Right. You can take it. What you need to do is, I've talked to the DA in my area, and he knows who we are. I brought cards to him. I've talked to him, and You know, he's one of the DAs at Brockler, and he was running for some office out here. I've told him about the guardianship. I've talked to him personally, and he just says, oh, you're one of them people. And he doesn't understand the seriousness of this. Either that or he does, I'm not sure. But I'm saying that if we can get enough people, which I do, and I think you're in the Denver County area or whatever county you're in, I think if we get enough people to go to the district attorney, I think that would be a good idea. And if you want to do that, we should do that.
Okay.
You know?
And that was kind of my question. You know, I was like, wait a second, can we take this to the DA's office? Because we're going through, you know, the battle of our lifetimes. We're looking at a corrupt system. We have judges that will sign off on anything and everything. And, you know, I'm in the middle, but I'm just trying to save the estate as of now, and it's not a chance. There's no chance. You got a judge that signs off on anything and everything, and they will not listen to anything. My other thing is, you know, I am in the Colorado Court of Appeals. I lost that because I didn't put in – it was my first brief that I wrote. And so my other part is getting into the Supreme Court. So that would be my next avenue on –
Right.
On stopping their, what is that? What am I trying to say? My next avenue is going to the Supreme Court to overturn their decision.
You know, I'm wondering if maybe going to the district attorney would even be better than that, because you know, up in Vegas, they had district attorneys all involved, and there's district attorneys being involved with governors and all that stuff up in Michigan happening now. So I think maybe going to a district attorney, why not? You know, I've been to them, and I've talked to them before. But I think whatever's going on, and that's, you know, if you have one like in Denver or in Aurora, you have to go to certain areas. And I know Denver's really, I have a lot of people from the Denver area that will be glad to go with you. You know, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what do you have to lose?
And then I'm thinking, no.
You know,
right?
And then what you do is tell them that you're talking to Channel 9 News about it also, and then they say, oh. So you sort of kind of like have the news stations on the side, you have the district attorney, and then you put them all together and say, this is all what I've told all these different organizations. I've told the mayor, the governor, whoever you're going to bring into it, just let them all know that you're working together with this. To let them know this is a big deal.
Right, that would be nice. And how about a forensic audit? And I went to the Denver.
They're very, very expensive.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
I had a lady doing ours.
Go ahead.
I had a forensic lady doing ours. From Dr. Sugar sent us to this one lady, and I sent in 5 or 6 months of all this paperwork. I spent months on it. And she said, I don't see anything wrong. And it's like, are you kidding me? So I don't even trust the forensics, to tell you the truth, unless you have one that's, you know, that is going to be helping you. Because I was kind of shocked. This lady just like, I don't know what happened. Maybe she got too busy. I don't understand what went on. But, yeah, I think if you get the forensic, if you have – I know they're expensive. But I know if you get that together and we get 5 or 6 families that we know these certain groups of this cabal in Denver, you know who they are, and if we go to district attorney and say, this is going on, we need some help, that might be better, and then go to Channel 9 News and tell them exactly what you did, too. That's what we need
and
to do.
Yes,
that sounds
very interesting. That's probably going to be my next avenue, because every avenue that I have taken, everybody says they have no jurisdiction. No jurisdiction. I even took it to the congressman, and they say no jurisdiction.
You're going to get to the governor, and they're going to tell you they don't have jurisdiction. You're going to get to the mayor, they're going to say they don't have jurisdiction. You're going to get to the judicial district where they have jurisdiction, but it's the fox's watch at the hen house, so you don't really get anywhere. But the thing that they do respond to is the news people. They do respond to that. And we're going to be having Gretchen Rachel Hammond come talk to us as soon as her articles come out. We're going to be getting her onto the radio show to talk about what's going on up in Michigan. There's a lot of stuff going on up there from what I heard. But that's what I'm saying. We have to have the news people up there. And then there was some other people that freed their, I think it was their aunt or their uncle.
The media is more powerful than the government. I agree.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I agree as well.
The media, you get the media involved.
The media is more powerful than the government.
I do not like. But you got to get the media involved. We have enough families to do that. We have a ton of families out here. I have so much evidence out here, you know. It's just that we needed to grow our forces, which we have. I've got tons of information. All my whole closet's full of probate stuff, you know. But
yeah, I finally found you guys, and you guys been helpful. And I saw my mother on Monday. I've been out of town I took a job out of town for 3 months. And I saw my mom on Monday, and the first things out of her mouth was, what are you doing legally to get me out of here? Now, is it possible? Even have my mom call the news people. How's that?
Right.
You do that?
You know, that'd be perfect. That's what you need to do. That's exactly what you need to do. And mention Faces Radio, how we do radio shows. Mention our group out here. Mention the Denver Westward. I also got a hold of Alan Fenton. He's a big article. He's a big one that they actually called me from the Westward today, you know, to talk more about that. So that we've got, you know, a lot of positive stuff going on, and we have the scoop on these people. We just have to bring it to the news media attention and tell them this is some serious stuff, you know.
Should I go to Westward myself also?
Absolutely.
Pardon?
Should I go to Westward Magazine myself also?
Go and do what?
Because I've read stories on that through, you know, it's always the same. It's a different judge. It's just the same principles are involved.
I have 11 different districts for every so many, but these people go to 11 different districts. All these guardians and conservators all go to different districts. So we hear about the same complaints. One of them will be in Denver. One will be up in Pitkin County. One will be in Jefferson. It's the same people. It's like about, I'm going to say that there's probably every single public administrator. I'm not going to say every one of them because I don't know every single one of them, but all the ones that's been mentioned to me, and there's 23 of them. There's been 19 of them I've had complaints against. 19. I mean, there's only 4 I haven't heard of. I mean, come on. I mean, if the public administrators are doing that much damage, then let's get rid of these public administrators. They're not doing their job, obviously. You know, they're obviously hurting families one after another, and I have stories one after another just every day. I get people running to me just scared to death, you know, and it gets really frustrating for our organization because we're like, well, I wish I had some more positive news, but you can try this and you can try that, you know. But, yeah, David, if you want to do that, let's do it. Let's do it. I've got many families that are willing to come with you now. I have them ready to come with you. You know, I've got Maureen Welch.
Absolutely.
I've got David Cass. I can't believe I found you guys.
And things are progressively getting better. I'm back on the ball and getting things going because I was fighting this all by myself. I didn't think anybody was out there, and then I found you guys, and I'm like, wow,
we did
okay,
too.
I got
we
a
did
chance
that for a
here.
Long time. But we ended up with a big senator involved, and all this information I have documented by a senator, and I have an ex-senator that would be willing to come with us, too. We have Maureen Welch that would be willing to come with us. I have David Cass. We've got a lot of people that can come with us now. So let's do it, you know, as soon as I can walk.
If we have that much people, we could also probably get it into an open floor at the State House, you know, when they have an open floor and you can actually voice your opinion.
We actually had a stakeholders meeting there with Senator Laura Woods, and that went very well. The only problem with that is that she wasn't voted back in, so which was most devastating to our families. It was just a real big setback. But we have other senators that are involved now, and we have some ex-senators that are involved now. So, yeah, that's what I need to do. The Colorado Bar Association wanted to talk to us about all this information, too. Do we trust them? No. But we already know about what goes on with the Colorado Bar. We know that these people, you know, they've come talk to me about how can they fix things, and it's like we've talked in front of you people at least, you know, 4 or 5 seasons. How many seasons, Robin? At least 5 seasons or something like that. They know we mean business out here. They know that we want some change. So this might be a good time, David, for me to get that set up too, for us to be talking to the Colorado Bar, okay? I think that's
and
another.
And when you say, And I just want to interject. When you say, do we trust the bar? No. Well, as a body, no. But there are many attorneys that are trustworthy, that we do very much trust, that are
really good
members of the bar. And and one of the things that we are hoping is that we can see one day a bar association that supports the members that actually do good for their clients.
Right.
And
that was 20 years ago.
Justice in their court. You know, because that's the bar association that we are able to support, is the one that is actually supporting justice and doing good in the world. It's not such a big stretch. Stop doing wicked things and start doing good things, and we'll be on your team, you know?
Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, there's some really good ways that we could do this. I mean, we just have to put our heads together, because, you know, the more of us that get together, and I'm willing to put a phone conversation together with all these different families, and you can figure out what to do. And I have a lot of them. I have a lot of families involved now. I mean, I'm like heading towards 60 families now, you know. So yeah, let's do it. I mean, why not, you know.
It can't hurt.
It can't hurt at all. And you've got a large group behind you now. You've got a lot of people that will be out there to talk. You know, it's a lot more than it was 6 or 7 years ago. It's like, man, we were all alone fighting these people. You know, I was scared to answer my phone a couple of times. Man, I was hiding, and my sister was hiding underneath the desk. You know, she was.
I have never been involved in law because it never affected me. But I actually took the time. I went down to the library, studied. I found a few things that, you know, that goes with us. And that's how I won my criminal case, basically, because I knew more about law. Now it's a hobby of mine, of going down and finding something that we can use against these people.
Yeah, it's amazing how knowledgeable you become. And, you know, just I'll give you a lot of credit for, you know, taking your case to the appellate court and writing a brief. I know a few people who've done it, and it is, I mean, beyond unbelievable the work that you have to put in. And I couldn't even, I'm really good at speaking with people. I'm good in person, but when it would come down for me to be able to write a brief, I couldn't do it. So I really, really give you a lot of credit for doing that.
I did miss a couple things because it was my first brief, and then but the reply brief was awesome. It was spot on, and I think I'm going to take the reply brief to the Supreme Court. I'll just have to follow that. I should send it to you, actually, one way or another. I'll see if I can get it to you.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah, Luann has my information, but yeah. It is time-consuming. It has to be done a certain way. And, yeah, so there are people here in Florida that are doing it pro se, because a lot of times if you get a lawyer to do a brief for you, they will charge, at least in Florida, they will charge $10,000.
Well, the good news on the brief is, since I went pro se, as a pro se litigant, they didn't have a chance to sue me because I wasn't a lawyer. That's the only good thing that happened out of that. So that made me go, well, since they can't sue me, I can go see my mom every day. But they charged me $150 per hour to go see her.
Yeah, and I know some families that was charged $750 an hour, which is a crime.
Wow. What a disgrace.
Yeah, to go see your own mother? Oh, my God. I mean, how horrifying is this, you know? It's
the people are watching over her.
Yeah.
They were the staff actually took pictures because they haven't seen Sharon Wells so excited in 3 months. And the first word from one of the people that the staff was working there said, "So Sharon, are you planning your escape route?" That was cute, but she knows that she doesn't belong here. She said, "I don't belong here," and she's telling the people right in front of her, "I don't belong here. What are you doing to get me out?"
Yeah,
she does.
You know, when you
lucid and sound mind.
When I had that come to my mom, and my mom was, you know, she was, like, she was like really upset that we weren't helping her in some situations, and it's like we weren't able to. She knew that we loved her. She knew all that, you know, and they know something's wrong. They know something's wrong when their kids aren't visiting them, and they need their kids this time of year. They don't need to be locked up. You know, what is that? Just makes me so angry because, you know, these people work for our country. These are our veteran era people. These are the ones that fought for our country. Many of these people did. And they went through the, you know, the horrible World War II times. And then they fought for our country, many of these families. And then all of a sudden they're just treated so brutally. It's just not right.
It means absolutely
so
nothing what they've done. Absolutely
whatever you want
nothing.
To do, I'll back you up with our group, okay? Whatever you want to do. That's what you can do.
Maybe.
And if you go to court, make sure you have a bunch of court watchers there. You want, every time you go to court, you want 5 or 10 people in there showing judges and all them. We're watching them. That's another thing that helps very well. Okay.
Just,
they're called court watchers.
I'm just wondering my next step. My next
yeah.
step. You know, I'll probably text you personally on that.
I think the Denver. I think
go
the
ahead.
Denver
Keep
one.
Keep on with you guys' conversation. That.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd
like to interject that I have been saying for years, this is kind of a grow your own superheroes game. And what
right.
I mean is that we have discovered a lot of things that we have tried that didn't work at that time for us. That doesn't mean that it can't work to, for instance, go and see the Attorney General because we may have a different Attorney General now. We may have changes in the politics around the Attorney General. You know,
right.
so,
different governments too.
But the thing
different
is,
governments.
When it comes to
everybody.
Strategy, we can tell you a whole lot of stuff that we tried that didn't work, but you never should get discouraged. You should continue to try stuff. If it looks like, hey, this might be something that might work, I've got a hunch it could, then go ahead and do it, and we'll support you in that because it's more important that we keep up the constant drip, drip, drip of pressure that says we are working to end the injustice. We are striving to put the criminals behind bars where they belong. We are striving for a more equitable justice system, and we're not stopping. We're still here. We're still working at it. A lot of legislators that in the beginning just kind of brushed us off, after a year or two, started actually listening to us. Some of them also got voted out. Some of the ones that listened the best got voted out. You know, but what has happened is a gradual transformation in the way things are. And so I am hopeful. I am optimistic, cautiously. But I'm, you know, I'm also aware that we're fighting a hydra. Every time you cut off one head, it grows two more, you know.
Right.
It's a monster that we're fighting. And we have to keep on working at the battle from
exactly.
every angle that we see that may work, and we have to
right.
keep trying new things and go back and try the things that maybe didn't work the last time, but maybe circumstances have changed a little. Maybe that will work now. You know, go back and talk to those newspaper people that we talked to before that said, can't do anything, can't help you, and maybe they'll call you the next time that they're contacted and say, hey, look, you need to try, you know, I referred this guy to you because I know that you are working on this and he needs help and maybe you can help. And then if we are able to then go and, because sometimes we do things that work. Sometimes we get someone their $1 million back from the courts in some
right.
kind of miracle that never happened before in all these thousands of cases that we've looked at. And then all of a sudden, one day, one of these guardians says, dang, these people are on my butt. It looks like we're really going to see some stuff coming down that might really, truly come back on me. And I know that this is all criminal activity. I know that I'm abusing this person, and so do they. And now it looks like it might just come back on me. I better give this money back. And I think that's basically what happened in that case. And I want to see more of that. And sometimes you do. So sometimes you have some success. So, so of course, keep the pressure up and keep trying things and keep doing the things that seem the wisest to you. And we'll give you all the support that we can. We'll put you in touch with people that can help you work on stuff. If we know of someone, you know, we'll do all we can to help support you, because this is a battle that we're not quitting. You know, we're never quit, and just, we don't stop. We're like a pit bull. Once we've got a hold, we don't let go, and we're not going to,
back to the Whistleblower Summit, and I know this is going to be a big one, because when Marty Oakley gets talking up there, and Marcia Southwick, which he came down and spoke in front of our legislation, and you get Zena Crenshaw, that's going to be a very powerful tool to get that notice up in Washington State. That's going to be huge. So if anybody can get up there, it's July 29th through the 31st. If I could go, I would be up there. I really would. But there's no way I can leave here. There's no way. But I'm just saying that this is a really good opportunity. If anybody's listening to me up there, please join Marty Oakley and the rest of the crew going up there. It's going to be – last year was amazing. Marty Oakley is – oh, my gosh. She is a powerful speaker. Marcia Southwick from NASGA, she's amazing. And so is Zena Crenshaw. So I'm just saying
– I have so much admiration for these people that you're speaking of. And all of these – all of – there's so many that I wish I could just go down the whole list. There's, you know, there's dozens of people over the years that we've interviewed and that we've met and we've talked to that are in this fight, that are absolutely just the most beautiful people, they're strong, admirable, justice loving fighters that are willing to stand up and face some incredible opposition and keep fighting and get up again and get knocked down and get up again and get pushed around and get up again and fight some more. And I just have so much admiration for these individuals, both the ones that you're speaking of and all of those, all of you advocates out there. And you know who you are. You know who I'm talking to. And I appreciate you so much, because I just love you guys. I love all of you, guys, gals, every single one of you that is standing up for justice and fighting this fight, because you're doing the right thing. You're doing what needs to be done. You're making a better world for our children and our children's children and our children's children's children. So I admire you very greatly, all of you, and keep it up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, that we all have to stick together, because this is one of the biggest battles. And I really do believe that my dad had a lot to do with me being, you know, to where I don't give up. I just don't. My dad was one of them warriors from the Battle of the Coral Sea. I mean, he fought in the Battle of the Oceans, you know, when that big old Lexington came down into the ocean. And my dad was one of the very few survivors with his hands above the water with ropes saying, I'm not giving up. I feel like that all the time when I'm doing this. I really do feel like my hands are above the water with bloody hands saying, help us. Help, you know, with all the sharks going around. And that's what my dad had, was sharks, you know. And I call these people nowadays sharks, too, that are taking advantage of that, you know, these people.
Right.
It's just not right. So, yeah, that's why I speak very harshly on this, because this happened to my family. My family was totally robbed by these people. And it's not right that my mom and my dad worked their butts off for their family. And they were completely robbed of everything. I mean, my mom didn't even have a say-so of where to go into a nursing home, because we had to take what we could do. And thank God it was a great nursing home. Thank God. You know, but not thank God to the people that took our estate away from us. No. You know, they got to meet their maker one day, you know, and I'm glad it's not me. I'm really glad about that. You know, so that's why I'm saying that we all need to stick together. We need to keep working at this. And yeah, if you want to go to your district attorneys, I think everybody should be going to their district attorneys in every single part of the city. I could go to 11 of them if I have enough time to do all that. So, you know, it's a lot of work going to these places, but it's worth it. If you really want to shine a light on these people, we need to do that. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. But like I say, we really wanted to hear from some other states, but I know a lot of people called me up, and I've been talking, listening to a lot of these emails on here about what's going on in their states, and they're all saying that they're all working at it. Many people are saying, I can't come on the phone tonight, but I'm just saying that we're working on it. We'll have more information later. And there was also another attorney that was just, I think her was arrested. Her name was Connie Reguli. She was fighting for the children's rights and all that, but someone went ahead and took her to court or something. I'm not sure of the whole story on that. So I'm trying to get some information on that. But they're even going after some of our really good attorneys that are trying to make, trying to make a difference too.
Absolutely.
So that's just not right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
you know, I think of it as I hope that we are a red light and a vacuum cleaner. And you know why I say that? Because if you've got a bunch of roaches and you have a red light, the red light doesn't alarm the roaches. They won't run and scurry and hide from that. And if you've got a red light and a vacuum cleaner, you can turn on the red light and see the roaches and vacuum them up, then put a cork in your vacuum cleaner and those roaches are gone.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I hope that we are a red light and a vacuum cleaner in the courts of America.
Right. So all I can say is, you know, there's been a lot of people that are, you know, that are like NBC News investigations, nursing home chains collapse. We want a lot of this information coming into us, you know, about what's going on in their neighborhoods and what's going on, and bring awareness to a lot of these abusive nursing homes. There's no reason why they have to be run so bad. I mean, these elderly people did nothing to nobody. It's just that the only thing that they've done is they've gotten older. That's the only problem, is that they're not able to take care of themselves. They're not able to defend themselves. But they have family that can help them do that. And these courts are not allowing that to happen. I remember when we went into legislation this year, they were saying that guardianship was the last option. And we stood up in front of them and told them it's a bold lie. They're not letting family being taking care of their family members. It's not happening, you know, because it's not
right.
Profitable for them. It's not, you know. So they're fighting us and making us look bad.
Because the courts don't allow it when there's money to be taken from a family and distributed to a bunch of lawyers. That's what they do. They take the person so they can take the money from the family and distribute it to a bunch of lawyers. And that happens over and over, hundreds and hundreds of times, thousands of times a month. It happens all the time. And there's no excuse for it. It's absolutely criminal activity. But it's sanctioned by the court, so they get away with it.
Right. So, and I always tell everybody, if you want to come on to our radio show and tell us your story, or if you have any updates in your state, let us know. And the way you can contact me is you can do it at luanne@faceus.org. And you can also contact me on Facebook. It's Luann Fleming. And you can also reach Robin Austin. We're all on Facebook. And you can call into our shows each week, 845-241-9962. You press a 1. And I know I've got a whole bunch of people coming on this next 2 or 3 weeks, and then we're going to be getting a lot of information coming back from Gretchen Rachel Hammond doing that huge article up in Michigan, which is horrifying up there. They have people, I bet you there's 1 out of every 10 families that are guardianized up there now. But she's been doing an investigation, and she also rented out her apartment during this time to a lady named Sasha, and Sasha was murdered in her apartment. This one, Gretchen Rachel Hammond, she's a news journalist, and she went in to find all kinds
dead.
Of... Yeah, she'll be coming
she
back
was
on
found
our
dead.
Show.
I don't know that they've ruled it as murder, but she
well,
was
yeah,
found dead.
Yeah, she was murdered. She was found dead, whatever. But she was found dead in Gretchen Rachel's apartment. We're not sure exactly what's going on with that yet. She hasn't really heard. But that was huge going on. And then all the problems that she's had exposing in this
article. And this was This is after Gretchen Rachel Hammond had experienced various threats and had been cautioned by people who were in the know that there was that she was in danger. So
right.
This is all very serious, folks. This is all very
right.
serious. We are talking about whistleblowers who are under threat of death for telling
right.
the truth about what's going on in the courts. And, of course, they're not the only ones under threat of death. So are our elders that are taken into nursing homes and then silently executed out of sight of the family, starved to death, dehydrated, and given a cocktail of drugs at the end, oftentimes, to seal the deal.
Yeah.
You know, this
yeah, that
it's,
I thought
it's
of
not
like,
uncommon for people to die in yeah. this from the unsavory characters doing the unsavory
mm-hmm.
things that are going on in these courts and these nursing homes.
Right. And you know what? But you know what? We just keep talking about this. We keep bringing awareness about this. Let's see who this is. 214, are you with us? 214, you're live.
I
hello,
just joined, Luann.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Kathy.
Is this,
yeah.
Is this Kathy? Yeah. Kathy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm here.
Too.
Hi,
so,
Kathy.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
How's it going?
Hello.
Kathy's always wonderful
to
talk
away.
To. Yeah, Kathy, what do you have to say about anything?
No, just listening. I'm, you
just
know,
listening?
Just listening. Yeah.
Good, good, good. So anytime you guys want to start up your shows, let me know. I know there's a lot of stuff going on with you guys, though. Let me know.
Yeah, we're gonna probably start it next week again, I think.
Yeah.
Great. Excellent.
That'd be good.
Super.
Yep. That'd be good. Whatever you want to do, just let me know. They have a Face Us in Texas show, which we talk a lot about, and that's Kathy. Let me bring in another caller. It's a 941 number. Hang on there with us, Kathy. 941. You're live with us on the air?
Yes. Hi. Yeah.
Hi.
Jenny?
Hi. Yes.
Huh?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. This is Genevieve, everyone. She's calling from Florida.
Okay.
Welcome.
And
thank
Genevieve,
you.
We're
thank
just
you.
Talking about changes in guardianship in your state. I mean, since your grandpa was put into guardianship, have you seen any changes happen?
No, I have seen a change in law, but none of it being put into perspective.
Uh-huh.
I still see the same runaround where nobody seems to apply the law. It just seems to be a free for all. You know, it's like people taking control of somebody that has not even the slightest idea of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about all those changes and the announcements and stuff in Florida?
Well, I think
with
that
this?
What needs to happen is that they need to get a really big reform and, you know, have a huge reevaluation of the staff. And unfortunately, you know, even if they're good staff, perhaps need to be transferred to a different department. So that there's a huge reform, like a 100% reform, to make sure that whatever happens is that there is no more abuse. These guardians need to go. There isn't enough guardians to cover the wards of the state. And the ones that are there to prey on the ones that do have money, they have family. They don't need to worry about that. There's no need for them here in society. You know, there's no
what
need.
About,
they need
what do you think about this guardian who killed that gentleman just recently? Have you
the
heard about that?
I think that it's none of her business.
The...
It's
right.
none of her business. It's their family members and... there's other people that can make the decision. As long as it's a family member, there's
no
need for somebody else to be
making the decision
for them.
What we're talking about is that that guardian that possibly may even be charged with manslaughter that outright killed that ward. She put him on a DNR.
Right.
Yeah. And it wasn't.
She had no
it wasn't
doing
finished.
That. It wasn't her. It
no,
wasn't her
no.
business. It wasn't her responsibility. She had no business even with that family. I mean, it's the family members. As long as there's family members, it's their decision if the person is incapacitated. It has nothing to do with the guardian. You know, they're supposed to be there to support and help in time of need.
Do you think this tragedy will be a big wake-up call in Florida, or do you think it just be a little, you know, a little thing?
You know what? I honestly, in my opinion, I think it's just going to be a little thing. But with everything else that's going on, I think that it's going to draw attention to the media because there's already so much that's being drawn to the media in Florida. So I think that 6 months ago, it probably would have been, you know, sent off to the side burner. But I really think that right now is the time to hit the media with these guardians and what they're doing. And there's so much out there. It just seems to be coming out. Like every week there's something new. And it's the right time
if
to be hitting
gonna
it.
If anything's going to happen, it's going to happen now.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
I mean, years ago, I think it would have been like, you know, pounding on like, you know, on an empty casket. But now I think that there's really room for reform. There's just so much change happening and so many people acknowledging what's happening and people coming out with stories and pictures. And, you know, it's just disgraceful. And, you know, there's so much on the media about sex trafficking and child pornography, but we're doing that type of exploitation with our own seniors. You know, we're letting them die injured and full of bed sores and, you know, neglected, no food, no water. You know, they're just equally the same to our own people. You know, it's not a pretty situation. It's really quite disgusting.
Yeah.
Definitely, without a doubt. And we can't save some of our family members, you know, but we can help their souls rest in peace, knowing that these guardians these judges and these lawyers are being held accountable, and we can stop it from happening again. Because as we speak, you know, people are still being put in guardianship today and tomorrow, so... It's better than it was last week. Yes,
it is. And you know, like when I mentioned like things have changed. What was it in 2018 in July 1st? There was a new law that was put in effect under guardianship, and I can't remember what it was, but I know that it applied directly to my situation, and. But I've been through so much I can't remember what it was. But whatever it was, if it was put into place, I remember thinking, wow, what a big difference it would have made in my case. You know, if I was able to relate back to this law and say, hey, you know, this happened and I, you know, this law protects us from this, but you know, it only got put into perspective. It was like a year,
right.
a year
and
even months
though
ago.
Even though it's in place, it might not help because a lot of these laws, I mean, the laws are really good, but the laws just aren't being followed. And that's
exactly.
A big part
people
of the problem.
The lawyers don't enforce them because they all work together and they think, okay, well, if it's just this minor thing, you know, oh, he died, so what? Oh, we're going to have to do this and that and this and that and this and that. So what? Let's not.
You know
put
what
it into
was really
you know,
upsetting
they don't care.
About the. What was really upsetting about the events in Florida, was your governor saying he was going to give these agencies 6 months to clean this up.
Yeah.
In that 6 months' time, how many people are going to be harmed?
Right.
A lot.
Exactly.
Quite a few.
Exactly. Exactly. And there.
So this is an emergency because these people are being gravely harmed financially and physically, their families are being gravely harmed, and they don't seem to have a sense of urgency to fix it.
No.
No one does.
No.
Right. And the thing is,
no,
to me,
because it's all part of the club. They all make,
right.
They must all make some sort of kickback from this. Because, you know, I was just looking at different cases today, and I was like, well, what the hell is it with this, you know, the very last month, it seems to happen in a lot of cases, the last month of the person's life. In my case, it was like the last week. I mean, they were in a big rush. They do this, like, last minute, like, switch over, guardian, one takes over, and the other one takes over, and it's like $6,000, and I assume it must be like a 50-50 split. Okay, well, here, I'm transferring this one over to you. I'm going to take a temporary leave for, you know, because I've made, like, enough money now. You know, it's almost like it's like a transaction. Like, you know,
well,
I don't know. There's something off.
Remember the time, Genevieve, that we called? I can't remember who it was. And we asked if the guardian was still working there. And they said, no, she's not. She sold her wards. And we're like, what?
What?
She sold
exactly.
her wards. So I guess whoever the wards were, I guess the guardian friends of this guardian who was retiring, whatever, said, look, whoever the highest bidder is, I'm going to recommend you. And it would probably go by however much money they had left in their estate.
Yeah, I should have written that. I should have written
that.
Oh, my that
God.
Down.
That sounds like they do, though.
Yeah,
that,
it was pretty disgusting.
Guardian, they sell them to the highest
yeah,
bidder.
Yeah,
it was really creepy.
Talk
my
about human trafficking.
Right. My grandfather's death was posted.
Yeah.
My grandfather's death was posted on public records.
Is.
It was posted
yeah.
on public records before I even found out.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine that?
This is horrible. This, God.
I talked to a woman a few months ago, and her mother was guardianized. She was a snowbird to Florida. She was from up north. And she was guardianized before they knew it in Florida. And they mailed her ashes, her mother's ashes, in the U.S.
Oh,
mail
yeah.
to her.
I don't know what
that's
they
how
did
she
with
found out her mother passed away.
Jesus. You know, shame on them. You know, they disposed my grandfather's ashes, and I don't know exactly where they are. I'm pretty sure I know, but they don't know what we did, what they were supposed to do with the ashes. They decided, and they made such a show that they canceled the funeral. So we don't even know what happened. We have still no closure.
Well, according to April Park, we put those ashes. You put those urns in a storage unit somewhere. I wonder how many storage units there are in Florida.
She said she spread them to where my grandmother was. So I'm thinking, okay, well, did you fly to Canada? Like, what the hell?
What? Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is getting spooky. You know? But it happens.
Yeah,
it
can't get any crazier.
Yeah, and it happens. And the abuse going on is huge. It's something when you deal with it every single day, it doesn't get any easier to listen to. And and after a while, you can tell these people their story, and they're exactly, you know, what you've been telling all these other people that's going on. But anyway, so I just want everybody to know that our time is up, our hour and a half show is up, and make sure if you can, you get out to the Whistleblower Summit. That's starting on Sunday, I think it is, or Monday. Monday through the 31st. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week in Washington, D.C. If you need any information, I've posted that up on a Faceless website on Facebook. Or if you need to, PM me, and I'll get you the information to hook up with Marty Oakley, Martha Southwick, and, you know, Crinchfield. But they're going to be up on Monday. So if you want to go listen to them about probate court, that'd be the best opportunity for you to meet up with these huge advocates that are going to be speaking on that on the vulnerable's behalf. Anyway, thank you guys for coming on tonight, and let's keep this going. Let's reach out to all the different states to find out what's going on in their state, and let's try to end this guardianship abuse that's happening to our families. It's
absolutely.
It's overwhelming.
Thanks, Robin.
Thank you
so much for all of you.
Right.
Yeah, and thank you
and
all
remember,
the gentlemen. This is Genevieve. I didn't get to say hi. I think I interrupted you. Hi, nice to meet you.
Genevieve, come
thanks,
on.
Genevieve.
Right. Come on, anytime,
thank you for
Genevieve.
On and talking with us.
Right.
Thank you.
But,
bye.
Right. We're going to
and remember, justice requires transparency and accountability, and never, never, never quit.
Right, and never, never quit. We're going
to
play a
amen
song
to that.
Here. Right, yeah. We're going to play a song by Kelly Derrickson called I Am Mother Nature. She's a three-time Grammy Award now for the Native Americans that are also fighting for their families. And she gives her music to play on our radio show. And she has a new song that just came out, too, called I Am Love. We're going to be getting that song to be putting on our radio show as well. So here we go. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.